Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. The Interrobang website asked 50 comedians their predictions for 2021. Ari Shaffir had an interesting one. I'll pick away at this list over the course of the next week and a half or so, but Ari Shaffir, will lead off with him. He said, a lot of comics are going to quit. They're not going to quit to go back to a day job. They're going to quit to financially greener pastures. They're going to put more emphasis on their podcasts, videos, stuff like that, because shows have been slashed, audiences have been slashed, but the good thing for the people who are left in stand-up comedy is going to be an interesting time. Two things are going to happen. One, you're going to see more and more turncoats among comedians, especially among comedians who aren't doing it every day, but still some comics who are. You're going to see a lot of comics betraying each other, saying this joke was over the line or that joke was not cool. Well, the cool thing is, for every comic who's a sellout punk who decides to betray the art form they do, they return for some extra hits off the backs of people who worked really hard. There's going to be a comedy audience who's going to love those people. The comedy audience is going to say, hey, I'm actually looking for comics who don't give an F about what's correct and what's not correct. I'm here for the things that make me gasp. I get enjoyment out of that. So for every audience member who is never going to be an audience member, who now never will be an audience member, there will now be a couple more who will go, this is the kind of stuff I like. Kind of like the first time you saw SNL when you were 14 years old. And you're like, whoa, this was always here? This speaks to me. I remember that feeling. So I think it's going to be a great place where dangerous comedy is back, where the repercussions are severe, but the rewards are even more severe. I think it's a great time to be a stand-up comic. And for those of us who managed to overcome the pandemic, and then he went for the punchline here. I don't want to do it in my normal delivery because you'd be like, wait, what happened to Johnny Mack? He lost his mind. So Ari Shaffir said, and for those of us who managed to overcome this pandemic that the Jews started almost a year ago today in Wuhan, China, as an experiment to help take over, they're going to reap those rewards. And I'm really excited about what's coming. Parade Magazine asked Jerry Seinfeld, which episode of Seinfeld are you proudest of? Jerry Seinfeld said, every episode was kind of like throwing dice. Sometimes you roll a 7, sometimes you don't. I remember when Larry suggested the contest episode, you know, the one where characters could go the longest without, you know, stuff. The contest, you know that one. I said, yeah, sure, that's fine, let's do that, and we did. I'm proud that I didn't consider the subject matter a little risque. Parade said, hey, why does the show hold up so well? Jerry said, writing. I see so many successful showrunners develop other shows and build production companies, but Larry and I just shut the door and wrote. We never dealt with the politics of our network or even our staff. We just said we weren't available because we were writing, and it was a natural urge to make the writing really tight. I forgot to tell you yesterday because I got distracted by the BuzzFeed thing, and we're going to do the BuzzFeed thing again in a minute. From CBR, that's what, comicbookreporter.com? In an official teaser for Doctor Who Series 13, Johnny Mack, where are we going? Why are we talking about Doctor Who? Well, because comedian John Bishop is joining the cast. Comedian John Bishop is going to play Dan. Now, if you're like, who is John Bishop? Luckily, CBR tells us Yankees. Bishop is a prominent British television comedian and actor, as well as a former footballer. See, I didn't know any of that. John Bishop will join the cast of Doctor Who as Dan. The Doctor Who Twitter account shared a clip where we see Dan being read his horoscope as he loads supplies into a van. Dan is told, be prepared for action and whatever hurdles come your way. Just remember, it's not the end of the world. The teaser is accompanied by the caption, welcome to the TARDIS. Den of Geek caught up with the Auntie Donna people, writing, it's morning in Australia, which means Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun, Netflix's new sketch comedy, which Johnny Mack says you should go watch right now. I binged it in one day, and I don't binge things. So good. It was so good. The first season features sketches that take the comedians on a treasure hunt, sees them train for the 2000 Sydney Olympics with pro wrestler Awesome Kong, and host a dinner party for the Queen of England. The series opening sketch, a song called Everything is a Drum, is a pitch-perfect appetizer for what's about to come next. Each sketch premise descends into absurdist chaos in a near instant. Yeah, Everything's a Drum is what won me over, like, in the first 2 minutes. Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun on Netflix. You should be watching it right now. One of the Auntie Donna says, the whole thing about our comedy is we're very maximalist. We pantomime for film. We go to this extreme level. Those who stay for a while tend to evangelize for Auntie Donna. You can count me in on that list. I'm telling you, go watch it. Den of Geek had them at number 10 on their best comedies of 2020 list. I hadn't checked out that list. Should we sidebar? Should I click on this cold? See what happens. I'm on denofgeek.com now. The best TV comedies of 2020. Let's see. I didn't plan on doing this. This is fun. Number 20, Big Mouth. Wait, there's 20? I could make a whole episode out of this for the weekend. Should I save it for the weekend? Should I just do it now? Let's just do it now. 19, Eric Andre. 18, Saved by the Bell reboot. 17, Everything's Gonna Be Okay on Freeform. 16, Star Trek Lower Decks. No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. 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 You know how, like, I'm a big fan of Adam Sandler and Sarah Cooper videos? No. Imagine I took all the shtick out of that and I was like deadly serious in my hatred for something. That would be Star Trek Lower Decks. I'm a big Trekkie. I don't want to go off on a Star Trek rant here. Can you hear it? This is a Star Trek rant. I'm not going to do it. Lower Decks? No. No, 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 no. 15, Solar Opposites on Hulu. I liked that a lot. Did you watch that? It's kind of Rick and Morty, sort of. It's like, not as chaotic as Rick and Morty. It's really good. Dave on FX was fantastic. Yep, you should watch that. I even describe it. They described it as Dave based on the life and rap career of Dave Bird, a.k.a. Little Dicky. It's a very, very funny show. It is not for children. My son is 17 and he watched it and I was horrified that he watched it. It is quite adult, but it's great. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Love that that's on this list. I've said before, I was really late to Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I like it a lot. That almost makes up for having Lower Decks on this list, but nothing can make up for having Lower Decks on this list. Animaniacs on Hulu. Haven't checked out that reboot yet. Number 11, Rick and Morty. I'm one of the people that like Rick and Morty, and all of us who like Rick and Morty can't get enough Rick and Morty. If they released 200 episodes later today, I would sit in front of my TV and binge the entire 200. Rick and Morty, fantastic. Number 10, Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun. Hey, that's what we're supposedly talking about here, but I went off on a sidebar. Number 9, Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet. That's the Rob McElhenney thing on Apple TV. It was okay. 9 feels a little high. I don't know what's coming on this list, but 9's a little high. 8, Search Party on HBO Max. I have not seen that at all. 7, How To with John Wilson. Earlier today, I saw somebody buzzing about How To with John Wilson. I don't even know what this is. Life is strange if you take a moment to actually watch and analyze many of the seemingly ordinary day-to-day things you witness while walking down the street in a major U.S. city. You'd be shocked at how alien it can all appear. In New York City, in particular, every imaginable human behavior is on display. Documentarian John Wilson's out there capturing it all. How To with John Wilson may seem like a series designed to teach you useful everyday skills like how to split a check or how to improve your memory, but in reality, it's a love letter to New York City. It's also insanely hilarious. All right, that sounds fun. I should check that out. 6, High Fidelity Remake on Hulu. 5, Pen 15 on Hulu. I discussed that last week. Not for me. Number 4, Ted Lasso. How is Ted Lasso not number 1? Ted Lasso is the greatest thing ever. Like, ever. Let's make a list of everything that ever has ever happened. Ted Lasso is number 1. They have it at number 4. That's on Apple TV. Please watch Ted Lasso. It's so good. Number 3, Schitt's Creek. I don't get it, man. I know it won like 9 million Emmys and everybody loves it. And I don't get it. In fact, unless you're like a critic in the industry, I find civilians don't like the show. Like, that, it's not that they hate the show, but I don't think there are any fans of that. Number 2 is BoJack Horseman. Always a good thing to have on a list. Let's see what number 1 is. What We Do in the Shadows. Den of Geek has What We Do in the Shadows on FX, number 1. If you haven't seen that, it is like The Office, but vampires. Really great show. The movie is even better, but Ted Lasso is even better than all that. All right, we were in the middle of an Auntie Donna article. They said, our whole shtick was we'd get on stage and perform bad writing really confidently and convince people that we were brilliant. That's really funny. They found their audience through performing live shows and festivals. Eventually, they reached a much wider audience for their comedy on YouTube. For many people like Johnny Mac, Big Ol' House of Fun has been their introduction to Auntie Donna. They've built a YouTube playlist for new fans who want to check out more of their comedy. There's a playlist called Auntie Donna, An Introduction. One of the Auntie Donna said, my favorite thing I've read was a tweet that was a comment on the Netflix sharing Everything is a Drum, and one man wrote in response, everything not funny. And I really like that. It made me laugh a lot. I thought that was really clever. Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun on Netflix. You should watch that. And there's also a podcast. I guess today is going to be a long episode, but that's okay, because I had promised you I would complete this BuzzFeed thing. This is called I'm Genuinely Curious If You Like These Comedians or Not, and it's on BuzzFeed, and I feel compelled to click on it and play along. On yesterday's episode, I did numbers 1 through 10. Let's pick up number 11. BuzzFeed asks me, how do you feel about Hasan Minhaj? I like his comedy. I checked out a couple episodes of the Netflix show, and like most things on Netflix, you watch like one or two, and you're like, this isn't that good. Like, nothing on Netflix is horrible, but nothing on Netflix is that good other than House of Cards, which, by the way, do you have Netflix? Yes, you have Netflix. On Netflix, go buy House of Cards. This cracks me up. Because you look at House of Cards, and it's like, Kevin Spacey, never heard of him. Who's Kevin Spacey? Was Kevin Spacey even on House of Cards? Now, I understand why they have disappeared Kevin Spacey. I get it. But it's like, come on, man. It's like, you know, he was on the show. He was kind of a big part of House of Cards. But House of Cards is good, and The Crown is really good. But everything else on Netflix is eh. So I'll click on the I Like Him box on BuzzFeed. How do you feel about Eddie Murphy? I grew up in the 1980s. How do you think I feel about Eddie Murphy? He's the man. How do you feel about Jim Jeffries? I like Jim Jeffries a lot. He's got something to say. He's funny. He's, you know, outrageous with a lowercase o. He's not just doing it for like, there's some comedians that just do outrage for outrage. But he's, you know, he's really good. Saw him in Montreal one time live. Really enjoyed it. How do I feel about Tiffany Haddish? I'm not anti-Tiffany Haddish, but nothing in her stand-up world has really grabbed me. So if I have to choose between I like her and not a fan, I'm going to have to click the not a fan. But that's not, you know, hate or, you know, Adam Sandler movie or something. It's just not a fan. Not a fan. How do you feel about Joe Coy? I like him a lot. Talked to him a couple times. Nice guy. Funny guy. Like what he does. I like him. How do you feel about Bert Kreischer? Bert Kreischer, I feel like could have a really big year this year. There's momentum there, starting to catch on. I mean, people that know about Bert Kreischer are really into him, but I don't think, you know, if I walked down the street and I said, hey, do you know who Bert Kreischer is? I think most people would not know. Once he is known, I feel like he'll really pop. So yeah, I like him. How do you feel about George Lopez? I'm going to give you three answers. One, I've worked with George Lopez and he was awesome. Really cool guy. Two, I really like his stand-up. It's on point. He's got his lane, does it really well. Really good. Three, I did see him live one time. It was in Chicago, and this is when he was getting the TBS late night show, and he went on stage and was savage about Letterman and Johnny Carson and everyone, and everyone else sucks, and he was going to show them how to do it and F them, and it was like really nasty, and my coworker was with me, and we were looking at each other like, well, what is this, man? Like, these people helped your career. Like, why are you just like savaging them? And it wasn't like comedy. It wasn't funny. It was like nasty. It was like, I'm going to show you MFs who's boss. And that show did not last long. So 2 out of 3 for George Lopez. But if I have to click I like him or not a fan, I'll click I like him. Next up, how do you feel about Sarah Silverman? I like Sarah Silverman. Her comedy's okay, but I just think as like a person who exists, who shows up in things, I like her. How do I feel about Cat Williams? I feel like he's had some offstage adventures in the last few years that I don't even remember it the second, but part of my brain is going, hasn't he been, colorful in the media? But if I have to click I like him or not a fan, I like him. How do you feel about Wanda Sykes? I like Wanda Sykes in small doses. I feel like after a couple minutes, I'm like, all right, enough Wanda Sykes already. And that is the end of the BuzzFeed article. So that's how I feel about those 20 comedians. If you want to ask me about anybody else, hit me up on Twitter. I'm at DCN Pod, as in Daily Comedy News, because, you know, somebody grabbed at Daily Comedy News and tweeted once, and God help you if you can get to Twitter to be like, hey, can I have that handle? So they're at Daily Comedy News. I am at DCN Pod if you want to chat with me. You can also hit me up on my personal Twitter, which is at McD Radio, at MCD Radio, and there is facebook.com/Daily Comedy News. Happy to chat with you there as well. I got a couple of listeners that I have, you know, internet friendships with. Hi, everybody. And, you know, click back and forth and trade notes. Kind of fun. They build a community here. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Overcast. Follow the show on Spotify, and I'll see you tomorrow.